Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Hey, morning everyone. Great to be with you this morning. I was speaking at Fielding Bible Chapel just before Easter, did a message on doubt and Thomas there. And I was saying to them, like I'm 54 now, like this is the age we can just go at any moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't mean to be more. Yeah, they gave me a hard time as well. I don't mean to be morbid or anything, but you know, like I'm mid-50s, people just drop dead from this point on. I was saying to them, this is bothering me. It's playing in my mind. So yeah, I know. You're welcome. So Penny's sitting in the community there. I'm married to Penny, and there's a couple of seniors sitting behind her. And they said quite loudly, apparently I didn't hear them, which is probably a good thing. They said, wait till he gets to 80, then he'll know what it's really like. So maybe I'm unduly worried. The good news, I suppose, is I don't know. I don't know whether I'm going to go early-ish or whether I am truly going to make it to 80 and know what it's really like to feel like that. What if you did know, though? What if you did know? That your days are up, your days is coming to an end. What would be your parting words? What would be your message? How would you put it together to say to your friends and family, people you love, people you know, your Christian friends? What would be your wisdom? What would be your insights in life? What would be your sage advice to give to them? So we are in the life of Moses at the moment. Last week, Trista brought us just a brilliant message talking about how Moses' circumstances had changed because we are in change. Jake, where are you? Yeah, there you are. We are in change. So talked about the fact that Moses' life changed, his circumstances changed, but in spite of that change, he took the right step. Do you remember that? He faced into Jesus and took the right steps and just the impact that had on his life. And then she talked about him having that eternal perspective that by faith, you know, he looked for something that was even beyond his life. And that gave him a real perspective. So I'm going to take you from a young Moses to a really old Moses this morning. So we're going to zoom forward 80 to 100 years in the life of Moses. We're going to meet Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is at the end of his life. He's 120 years old. So, you know, he's doing a lot better than 54, right? 120 years old. And he's with his people. They are camped on the side of the Jordan River, on the east side of the Jordan River, east of Jericho, in the land of Moab, and they're preparing to go across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And so this is Deuteronomy, 34 chapters in the Old Testament, about five books in. It all happens in Deuteronomy in those 34 chapters in just 1 month, just 1 month. And in Deuteronomy, Moses knows he's going to go. Numbers 20, God said to him, Moses, a few things happened. He couldn't enter into the Promised Land. He was able to go up and see it, couldn't enter in. He would die before the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, entered the Promised Land. So he knows this is it. And in fact, at the back end of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, Moses goes up Mount Nebo, looks over the Promised Land, And then he passes. Then he goes home to be with the Lord. So this is his last hurrah, if you like. So Deuteronomy, 34 chapters, it's three sermons. The first sermon is quite compassionate. I reckon it's about an hour long. The second sermon's a doozy. 3 hours, maybe more, all on the law. It's like, whoa. And then the last sermon, a bit more compassionate, but an hour and a half. We won't talk about a certain lead pastor we know and love who's been getting longer and longer and longer, will we? But he's not at Moses yet. When he gets to Moses, we might have to have a word, Jake. I'll rely on you for that. So, we love you, Ruby. You're doing great. We're doing great. 3 hours is a long time, though, mate. So we are going to be and just a little snippet of that doozy of a sermon, the three-hour one, where Moses is giving some of his wisdom. This is Israel. This is his nation. This is hundreds of thousands of people. He has been their father, their leader, for a long time, 40-odd years. This is his people. And so he's talking to them before he goes home to be with the Lord, and he's imparting wisdom. So he's going to, as we look at this thing of change, he's going to impart some of his wisdom to us this morning. So why don't we hear from Moses? So Deuteronomy chapter number 10, if you've got a Bible device, we'll have it up on the screen as well. But let's listen to Moses as he speaks to us. So Deuteronomy 10, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, your five books in at the start of your Bible. And this is what he says in this little snippet of sermon number 2. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and you live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and your soul. You must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Verse 14. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love. And he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Amen? Amen. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Don't you love that? Cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. For he alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky, the words of Moses. So as you know, this year, Ruby has led us into this thing of considering our next steps. And the life of Moses is an amazing life to, you know, look at opportunities to take that next step, opportunities for change. Throughout his story, and we are told about a great chunk of his life, we can see how over time he kind of grows in his relationship with God and he takes these steps and he adapts and responds to change. And in this sermon number 2, we can see Moses actually reflect back on 120 years of walking with God. And he sort of says, look, I've figured out over those 120 years what it is to walk with God, to live with God, to be alongside of God, to serve God, to be led by God. And he shares that wisdom in this sermon number 2. And I reckon Moses is someone worth listening to. Look at what the end of Deuteronomy says about him after he'd gone home to be with the Lord, or about that time. Chapter 34, verse 10, just listen. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So as we contemplate this year, what's my next step? What's my next step? In this little snippet of sermon number 2, Moses gives us, I think, four things which could constitute the next steps that we might want to take in God, in Christ, this year as we move forward in our journey with God in our lives. So let's hear from Moses. First of all, in Deuteronomy 10, I've called this lock in your rhythm with God. Lock in your rhythm with God. Verses 12 to 13, and now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and you live or walk in a way that pleases him. You love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. You must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. So this first piece of advice, Moses says to the people, fear God, walk with him, love him, serve him, obey him with everything you have, with all of your life, and for all of your life. And I like how it says he only requires this. It's like, doesn't want much then, does he? So my goodness, that's like a big ask. It's amazing. When I read passages like that, I go, wow, of course I want to do that. I'd love to do that. I'd love to fulfill that, you know, to reverence God, to please him, to love him, to serve him, to walk with him for all my life, with all my heart, all my soul. But it feels like an impossible task, don't you think? Like, that is a high calling. And when I think about passages like this that throw that out there and say, this is all he wants, this is all he requires, I think that, you know, with such broad concepts and high standards, I think that this is about establishing a rhythm with God in our lives. Because a rhythm sort of empowers and supports and enables the kind of life that is able to love and serve and obey and walk with God. It's what we wrap around ourselves, the rhythm we establish that enables and empowers that. So I want to talk to you about that rhythm firstly this morning, a rhythm with God. What does that look like? What does that look like? Well, Moses established a rhythm with Israel and he led them out of Egypt and he got this rhythm going with them. So they collected manna or bread from heaven Sunday through Friday and then they rested on a Saturday. They had systems of offerings and ceremonies and feasts and celebrations, and they camped around the equivalent of their church. It was a tent called the tabernacle. It was their place of worship, and they camped all around that, and they worshipped around and in the tabernacle. They followed a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the cloud settled on the tabernacle, they camped, or the tent, they camped. When the cloud lifted, they moved, they broke camp. And they traveled. They had a rhythm. How do we reverence, please, love, serve, obey God with all of our hearts for all of our lives? Well, I think it's about establishing a rhythm with God that enables, supports, and empowers our lives to live for him. You say, well, what does that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like for me, a rhythm in my life. So I establish a rhythm with God over a fortnight. So I have a fortnightly cycle. And so big part of that for me is I have a commute of about 45 minutes into work every day. 45 minutes in, 45 minutes out. Now, if I'm going to pray during the day, it's more likely to be in that commute that I'll pray. Eyes open prayer, right? I'm driving. So throughout that commute, particularly in the morning, I'll just pause for a few times and I will pray. I always do the word for today, the verse of the day in YouVersion. So I have the verse of the day and I meditate and reflect on that. I try to, as I travel home, I try to thank God, because it's amazing what you pray for in the morning, God answers during the day. I'm able to thank God for that as I go home. Because I'm a speaker, I do this a little bit. I would at least listen to one sermon on my commute during the week. Most of the time, three, sometimes five. So five sermons a week. I listen to everybody. It's part of my rhythm with God. Penny and I, we hold corporate worship. It's really important in our lives. We just don't miss. We hardly ever miss. We're either here on a Sunday, I'm speaking at another church, or because we're in Waikanae, we're online on the online service, and we do it live at 10. Don't back it up. We do it live. Always say, like, you can't buy, rent, hire, manufacture, replicate, borrow, construct the week in, week out, gathering with God's people in corporate worship and allowing God's Spirit to speak with you, speak to you through the worship, through the communion, through the prayer, through the Like, you can't replicate that. That's just a thing that wraps a rhythm around your life. Corporate worship. We have our small group, our Connect group, on a Tuesday every fortnight. It's here in Palmy. So it's an hour's drive in and an hour's drive back, and we try and make it every Tuesday that it's on. Establishing rhythm. Jesus in Luke 4, it says that his habit, his custom, his pattern was he went to the synagogue every Sabbath. That was what he did. That was his rhythm. Right? It was a place of worship in Jesus' time. So this whole thing that Moses said first, I think it's about locking in a rhythm with God. Like for me, it's a fortnightly cycle. That's what I'm focused on. How's my rhythm with God? And so for you this year, you might be thinking, can I see that rhythm in my life? Can I recognize that rhythm? Am I wrapping around myself an environment and a rhythm with God that enables that service and that love and that obedience and that all your heart? So for this year, one of the things for you when you think about what is my next step, particularly if it's looking a bit messy, and that's okay, it might be, you know, I want to just try and lock in this rhythm with God, wrap it into my life and enable that service, enable that love, enable that obedience, enable that walk with God, locking in a rhythm with God. So that's the first piece of wisdom. Secondly, in Moses' message to us, I've called this, come to grips with being chosen by God. Come to grips with being chosen by God. Verses 14 to 16. This is what Moses says. Look, the highest heavens of the earth and everything in it belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. So Moses tells them here, he says, look, God chose you to be his people. And in chapter number 7 in Deuteronomy says, he chose you because he loves you. And then he kind of says at the end of this, so stop being difficult. Stop being difficult, which I kind of like. Now, why God chooses whom he chooses is a whole sort of another big topic. But what I want to talk about today is that if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart by faith, if you are a child of God, you have been chosen by God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his holy people. It's one thing to know that I'm chosen by God. It's quite another thing to really feel it. I mean, really feel it. I think being chosen by the God of the universe, being chosen to be part of his people, is the most incredible thing. When I think about, sometimes when I think about the God of the universe, I think about him in Revelation 20, the great white throne of God, it's called. This great white throne descends with God the Father, I believe, on the throne. His existence is so powerful, so awesome. It's such a sheer display of genuine, unbridled power that the scripture says the earth and the sky try to flee from his presence, but they aren't able to. Whoa. Man, that is power. That is power. That God chose us. Chose us. I think that's the most amazing thing. When I was in my 30s, I put some real effort into coming to grips with this thing of being chosen or being accepted by God. I had some kind of thinking that wasn't quite straight on this, but I certainly didn't feel that in my life. One of the reasons for that was we were at a church, and that church put a real emphasis on your theology. And the kind of message I got from being part of that environment was, if you're theology wasn't kind of a certain flavor, then you weren't really that acceptable to God, and that kind of embedded itself in my life. I had to kind of work my way out of that. And so with God's grace and help and some really great books, I managed to find my way out, because one of the questions I had to ask myself was, what does make you acceptable to God? What makes you okay before God? Is it the finer points of your theology, or is it something greater and more than that? And I came to understand that the thing that makes us acceptable to God, the thing that makes us chosen by God, is his son, Jesus Christ. God looks at me through his son, Jesus Christ. That's how come I'm acceptable to God. When God chose me, he did it because of the sacrifice and the death of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's life-changing. I think it's life-changing. I'm chosen by God. One of the things about me, the thing I dislike the most, is when I feel like I'm not wanted. There's a whole lot of reasons for that, but that's what I dislike. One of the things I dislike the most in my life is when I'm not wanted. And I recognize that when I make decisions out of that place of feeling like I'm not wanted, I make poor decisions. So this thing of being chosen and accepted by God is huge for me. Huge. Because it really goes after that feeling of not being wanted. You can know it, but you really got to feel it like deep, deep, deep down inside your soul. I'm chosen by God. One of the things this year for you, if you don't really know it deep inside the core of your being, that sense of being chosen, might be to really go to work on that. Some great passages I gave you, one from Thessalonians on we're chosen by God, part of his people. He deliberately chose us for who we are. You might want to go to work on that this year, and that could be your next step, your next step. Number three, and this great message from Moses. Make God's values your values. Verses 17 to 20. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name. And this part of the message, God, through Moses, talks to his people about God's deeply embedded values, his deeply embedded values. God doesn't treat someone differently because they're from a low socioeconomic economic status like orphans or widows. God wants to ensure that orphans and widows, people that are less fortunate, are not exploited, they're not abandoned, that they're treated fairly. God doesn't treat someone differently because they don't come from here. He's not impacted by race or origin. God recognizes what it's like to be a minority, you know, to not really belong in the place where you are. And being accepted and taken care of in the place where you don't belong is really important to God. It's one of his deeply held values. These are God's values. And Moses says clearly to Israel, make God's values your values. And I think that's a lifelong process. So I'm really embarrassed to tell you about this, but it's all about keeping it real, right? So let me share you a very embarrassing thing that happened to me. There's a point when our kids were growing up that I got put under pressure in a moment of time. And often it's when we're under pressure in a moment of time when our real values emerge, right? Lift to the surface. This is one of those times, and I was deeply shocked by this. So I was heading down Broadway Ave, heading south, and I wanted to turn across the oncoming lane just in front of Mana Christian Bookstore. You know where I am? You know where I am on Broadway? And so there was a spare car park there. And so I was wanting to go a right turn into that car park, and there was a car also parked outside a Mana Christian store, and they were reversing out to leave. And I drove in, and they reversed out, and we almost, you know, had a crash. We almost crashed into each other. And I must have glared at the other driver, because I thought I had the right of way. And he shouted out to me in this really strong British accent, I won't do it. I've got the right of way. You know what immediately came into my mind? No, you don't. And why don't you just go home? Yeah. And I thought, where did that come from? I didn't say it, but I thought it. I was mortified. I was so ashamed. Gets worse. I know. So I went home, looked up the road code. Guess what? Yeah, the right of way. It gets worse. He was the father of one of our son Theo's friends at school. I hadn't met him yet. Where did that come from? My values weren't God's values. You know those deeply held values? You don't know are there until something like that happens. Man, I repented. Man, I repented that day. I was so sorry. I did some study, did some work, and I really worked on this value. Whenever I engage with someone who lives in New Zealand but doesn't come from New Zealand, this is the foremost thing in my mind. What is God's value? Love and care for the foreigner in the land. That's what he said, right? What if I was a foreigner in another land? How would I like to be treated, right? Like God, with God's values, right? So I am embarrassed by that. I truly hope I've eliminated, that value has changed. I'll never know till I'm put under pressure, but I hope and pray that God has done and his Spirit's done his work in my life on that value. This may be one of the things for you this year. There's lots of values that God expresses. This is just some of them that Moses has pulled out. But it could be this year the next step for you is, you know, to take a value of God and work on your values. And particularly if you've discovered one in the heat of the moment like I did and thought, ooh, I don't know about that. Making God's values our values. Then lastly this morning in this awesome message from Moses. I've called this number 4. Find your place in the kingdom and let God go to work. Find your place in the kingdom and let God go to work. Verses 21 and 22. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky. Now Israel's place in the kingdom of God was to be a blessing to all nations. That was the promise given to Abraham right back in Genesis chapter number 12. Now, once that was resolved, what their place in the kingdom of God was, God went to work and made them a great nation. That's what he did. 70 went down to Egypt. 430 years later, they emerged as a nation of hundreds of thousands. And this is the nation that Moses is speaking to in Deuteronomy. Hundreds of thousands headed for the land that God had promised Abraham all those years ago. A mighty miracle. Moses' final encouragement to us as a community of God this morning is to find our place in the kingdom of God and let God go to work. Let him take your unique role, your contribution, the part you play in the kingdom of God, in the work of God, in the economy of God, of God's presence on this earth, take your unique place and let him do his miraculous work and let him make it what he wants it to be. And if he wants to make it great, it'll be great. He's God. Right? So I worked through this with God a number of years ago, and I figured out my role in the kingdom, and I've written it on a card in pencil just in case I got it wrong. That's my personality. But I haven't changed it. It's decades old. This is what I figured out, that my role in the kingdom of God is to make a difference in the quality of people's lives by helping them understand and practically apply the word of God. That's what's written on the card. This is my role, I think, as best as I can figure out, in the kingdom. And by God's grace, I've been doing that, speaking at churches and small groups for 35 years. My very first sermon was in, my very first sermon was in August 1989, and it was called The Good News, The Bad News. I've got a copy of it. This is what MP3s used to look like. I've got a copy of it. Do you want to listen to a little clip? Yeah, this is me. Can we do that? Thanks, Rick.
One man didn't deserve to die. One man didn't earn the wages. One man never sinned. One man was holy. Righteous in the eyes of the Lord. One man didn't have the penalty of sin hanging over his head. One man blameless. One man did the work of unrighteousness. One man was not guilty. One man chose to die voluntarily, free from the penalty of sin. Chose to die at all. Not guilty. That man, Jesus Christ. Man is God, that man is Lord, that man is the good news. That man is the good news. Amen. One man didn't deserve to die. One man didn't earn the wages.
That's great. 1989, August. God has gone to work since that time. He's been amazing. Through changing churches and groups of churches, through the inevitable opposition you face when you're in ministry, through periods when you get hardly any offers to speak, through periods when you are just out of favor. From there to having so many invitations you could speak every weekend and probably midweek if you wanted to as well. Through raising a family, doing a busy job outside of church, God has made it happen year after year after year. 35 years. Man. It's thousands and thousands of hours. There's a cost. You count the cost, right? It's not only a cost to you, it's a cost to your family. But it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. It's the work of God. When I stood up in front of that little church 35 years ago as a very green 19-year-old, I might have had a hope. I might have had a prayer. But I had no idea what God would do. No idea that 35 years later I'd still be standing in front of a church and doing this. You know, your next step this year could be to really graft with God. Figure out, what's my unique role in your kingdom, God? Commit yourself to it and let God be great. I mean, just let him be great in your life. You'll never know what he'll do with that. He works mighty miracles. He took 70 that went down and made them hundreds of thousands. What's your next step? So, we've heard from Moses this morning. Just an itty-bitty part of that three-hour colossal sermon that he spoke. He gave us a summary of his life of 120 years walking with God. What was his encouragement, his invitation to us? What was his inspiration through God? It was lock in a rhythm. And let that rhythm serve you really well by enabling you to walk with God for the whole of your life. Really come to grips. I mean, really come to grips with what it means to be chosen by God. Take God's values, make them your own. Find your unique place in his kingdom and let him go to work. He does good work. He's God Almighty. Shall we pray? Crossroads. Heavenly Father of God, we thank you for Moses. Has there been a greater than Moses who walked with you and spoke with you face to face? Thank you for this little snip we got of his encouragement, his wisdom, his advice, his insights that she gave to Israel just before they entered the promised land. So I appreciate just the power in this, in his words. Lord, we're a community, we're a group of people looking for our next step this year. Help us to figure out what that next step for us as unique individuals chosen by you, selected by you to be part of your people. Help us to really figure out what that next step is. Maybe this morning the encouragement from Moses, these kind of four things from Moses might form part of those next steps. If it is, give us the courage to step out, give us the strength of the Holy Spirit to enable us to step forward and step out and step further in your kingdom. Lord, we're a people, we're a community that want to make a splash for you. To be the ones that send. Make a splash for you. Encourage us this morning, be with us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. It's through him that you look at us, blameless, holy, and acceptable to you we are. Because of Christ. It's in his almighty name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.